Tonight's shiur, Parshas Acharei Mos. Parsha begins with the mentioning of the death of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Aviv, Acharei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aaron. There's a number of reasons given in Chazal. What was the time? Why Nadab and Aviv died? Why Hashem killed them? Moreh Sanhedrin brings the opinion that Nadav and Aviv were walking after Moshe and Aaron, and Nadav turned to Aviv and said, "When are these two old people going to die so that you and I can take over and be in charge of the generation?" So as a result, because they spoke like that, they were killed. Remember, the question is asked that Lechura Nadav turned to Aviv and said this. So Bishlam, I can understand why Nadav was killed, because he said this not nice thing, you know, behind the backs, literally a Moshe and Aaron. But Aviv, he didn't say anything. He just listened. He didn't say anything. So why should Aviv also die? So the Chida answered basically on Gemara and Sota, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Says that when Paro said, Hava Nishak Malo, there was three Shayu Boso Eitzah. He took advice from three people, Bilam, Eov, and Yisrael. And the Gemara relates that Bilam, who gave an Eitzah, he was punished, and he was killed, Nerag. Eov, who was quiet, he just didn't say anything, he was punished with Yisurin. And Yisro, who Barach, he ran away, he was rewarded that his descendants would sit in the Lishkas HaGazis. So the Brisker Rav explained that Lechura, Eov, what did he do wrong, that he should punish with Yisurin? Okay, see that Yisro ran away, didn't want to give advice, ran away. Okay, he's rewarded. So he didn't run away. But he didn't say anything, he was quiet. Why should he be nidon with Yisurin, he's terrible Yisurei Yuv? He was just quiet. So the Brisker Rav answered, he says, what happens when a person, let's say, steps on your toe? Right? So it hurts, so what do? You scream. You go, ouch, hurt. Right? Now, what does that do? Is screaming going to help? Person has some pain somewhere and he's crying. What is the crying going to do? Crying takes away the pain? And no, it doesn't take away pain. But what can you do? It's a natural response. If something hurts, you cry. So Mele says the same thing. Eov, why didn't he say anything? Why didn't he say, no, we can't do this to Jewish people? Why didn't he protest? Because Mistami felt that it's not going to do anything. Fine, Eov, not going to do anything. You realize you're saying something to Pharaoh, he's not going to, that's going to fall on dead ears. Okay, could be. But still, it should hurt. And if it hurts, you cry. And he didn't cry, he was silent. So he deserves to be punished. Why? Because if he didn't cry, that's a sign that deserves to be punished. So Mela, that was the Yisurin of Eov, which is so too, just when a person has Yisurin, he cries even though he doesn't do anything. So too, Eov should have cried even though it wasn't going to do anything. But still, it hurts, you cry. So Mele, said the Chizah, same thing over here. We said, Nadav said to Eov, when are these people going to die? Eov didn't say anything, why should he be punished? Same thing. Okay, but say it should hurt, should cry, say no, emotion, Aaron, how can you talk about it? How can you remain silent at a time like this? If you remain silent, that's a sign it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, and that's why you're not crying. And therefore you should be punished. So I also answered the Medrash Pliya, says, Kevin Sheshama Iu Valmisas B'nei Aaron Amar Af Lezos Yecharad Levavi. That the Midrash says that when Eov heard about the death of the Shnei Bnei Aaron, he says, "Oi, this because of this, my heart trembles." He says, "What's the connection you to the sons of Aaron?" According to what he's saying, is very good, because when he saw that, why did the sons of Aaron die? Not that we understand of you, he just didn't say anything. Must have been because he didn't cry. Why didn't he cry? Because it didn't hurt. Eov realized, hey, I'm in the same boat. Same thing with me. Why didn't I cry? It obviously didn't hurt. That's a terrible thing. And that's why he realized that he was deserving of these terrible punishments. It says the Pasuk, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. Gonra Hagon Ben Sian Abba Shaul brings the Midrash Rabbah that says, Bezos Yavo Aaron Zesh Amar HaKasuv in Mishle Ki Bez Tachbulos Taseh Lecha Milchama. Should do war with tachbulos. What is tachbulos? Rabbi Nassim, Ravacha, B'Shem Rabbi Simon Amar, says the Midrash, Imasisa chavilos shalaveros Asay kenegdan chavilos shel mitzvahs. Lashon tachbulos is a play on the word. It could mean lashon chavila. Chavila is a bundle, a package. Right? If a person does a bundle of averas, kenegadat, he should do a bundle of mitzvahs. So what's the simple? A simple pshat is that, okay, you did a whole bunch of averas, so, you know, part of your tshuva is to counter all these averas, you do a lot of mitzvahs. Okay, simple pshat. However, Rabbi Shaul says a different idea. He says sometimes an avera, one avera, even what might not even seem like such a terrible avera, that avera can have tremendous ramifications and can be and end up being a big bundle of averas. One little avera turns into a big bundle of averas. And likewise, on the mitzvah side, you can do what seems like a little mitzvah, but the ramification turns into this huge bundle of mitzvahs, you know, like the snowball effect, they say. To give an example, there's a story with Yaakov Kamenetsky. When he was a young avreich, at the time of the First World War, he was running away, him and his wife, and they got to this this town that was out in the sticks, literally, and the whole town was only two Jews. And of course, he wanted, not going to turn to anybody, you know, to a place to sleep overnight or whatever. Put up, they're not going to go to a goy. He wanted to go to a yid. So one of the houses of the yid was this huge like a mansion, going to a yid. So he goes, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, I'm sure he'll take us in, you know, warmly, you know, a fellow yid. You know. And happened to be, it was a freezing cold night. It was snowing and blizzard, and they didn't have proper clothing. They were freezing to death. And his wife was like, mamash thought she wasn't going to make it. So it was mamash pikuach nefesh. Had to get in quickly. So they knock on the door, and sure enough, the balabais comes and says, "Yeah, what is it?" She says, "Can you please take us in? You know, we're freezing cold." He goes, "No, I don't take any guests." Closes the door. She says, "What? You can't believe it. This is a yid." You know, he knocks on the door, and the guy says, "Yeah, what is it?" He says, "I told you, I don't take a guest." So he says, "Please, you know, my wife, this is, no, nothing, I don't take it. I told you, no, go away." She says, so he didn't know what to do. So he knocked, and he goes, "What is it?" The guy says. So Rav Yaakov says, "Please, okay, you're not going to let us in. Can we at least stand underneath the awning in the chaser, in the courtyard, just to get out of the snow a little bit? We're not going to come in. Can we stand outside here under the awning, whatever?" He goes, "Okay, yeah, fine." And that was it. Anyways, by Nisim, they survived that night. And eventually they made it to Slobodka. So that there was a Yamim Noraim. And Yaakov was davening in the minyan there in the yeshiva in Slobodka. And all of a sudden, the Rosh Yeshiva, he would tell the Gabbai who to give aliyahs to. This one, that one. All of a sudden, who comes up for an aliyah on the Yamim Norim? No less than this Gvir, who didn't let him in his house. An aliyah. So he couldn't believe it. He goes, "What?" He runs over to Rosh Yeshiva, and he says, "You can't give this guy an aliyah. This guy's a Rasha Marusha. He almost killed us. You know, we're freezing cold. They didn't let us in his house." And then he said, "You're giving this guy an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah? You know, how can you do that?" So Rosh Yeshiva said, take it easy. I know what I'm doing. We'll speak after davening." Okay. So sure enough, right after davening, Rav Yaakov goes to the Rosh Yeshiva, and he says, "So Rosh Yeshiva says, let me tell you something." Says, "This guy's not a Rasha. The guy's a Lahafik, he's a Baal Chesed. And you know what? This guy put the whole yeshiva, Slobodka, up in his house. He took all the Bachrim under his house, and they stayed by him. He's a big Machnis Areach. What happened with you?" He says, "I'll tell you what happened." He says, "Just before that, a day or two before, when you came that night, this guy had some guests, you know, also he took into his house. And there are a bunch of Ramayim. And the Ganavim, and they emptied out his house, took all the silver and gold or whatever, they cleaned him out, and they ran off with the stuff. So this was just a day or two before you came knocking on the door. So it was so fresh. You know, he just got robbed of taking these strands. So he at that point, he didn't want to take in anybody that he didn't know. You know, you can understand after that what had just happened. Took in a couple of strangers and then emptied it out. So here it is, you and you know, didn't know you, and knock on a door, and he couldn't help it. It was just too fresh what just had occurred to him. But you know, you have to understand. Okay. So Rav Yaakov said he thought for a minute. He says, "Imagine that." He says, "These Ganavim that you know stayed in his house and emptied him out. So let's just say Chas v'Shalom, you know, he or his wife would have died from, you know, froze to death. So this Ganav, besides having the Veira of Geneva, he was they were Rotzchim, right? And they could have killed these two people. They come out, why? Because they, you know, stole the thing. Because of that, the Babai is not going to let them in, then other people in the next night, and because of that, they might die. So it ends up that this bad enough to steal, but ramifications could have caused the death of these people. So we saw this idea of chavilas shel averas. You do some bad as avera, bad to steal, but you don't realize the ramifications. I've seen this story a few years ago. I mamish just after that had a maaseh happen with me. It was the same idea. So I was one of the boys in the yeshiva here. He was telling me that he was in the old city. And a teenager comes up to him and asks him, can I borrow your cell phone? Make a phone call. So, okay, he's a nice bacher. He says, sure, you know, gives the phone. And he sees the guys, you know, talking this and that, whatever. And he's like, not giving his phone back so quickly. So he went up to him very nice and says, can I please have my phone? So the guy kicks him in the stomach, kicks the bacher in the stomach, and he runs up with his phone. So he thinks he was an Arab, and he ran into the Arab court or whatever. But he took off with his phone. It's not someone's phone. Okay, he told me this maisa. Very shocking. Okay. A few days later, I don't remember. It was just shortly after that. I was happened to be in Yerushalayim, at the bus stop in Yerushalayim, and a guy, a stranger or not a religious man, whatever, some guy comes up to me while I'm waiting for the bus. Says, "Can I borrow your cell phone?" I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I said no. Why? Same idea. It was Fred. What just happened to this bacher? You know, he lends a stranger cell phone. I kicked him in the stomach, and he ran off with his phone. I felt uncomfortable lending that guy my cell phone. So it occurred to me, what was this idea? So it ends up that this guy that, you know, stole the phone from the bacher, bad enough that he was moneh chesed mimeni, right? I didn't do a chesed with this guy. Why? Because of the ramifications, you know, had this, because of what he did. I didn't want to do a chesed, and I didn't give this guy a line of, you know. But it's just as an aside, it's interesting what happened. First of all, I played this as if I didn't have a cell phone. I don't have a cell phone. Meanwhile, my cell phone rings in my pocket. Luckily, it was on vibrate though, so he didn't know anything. Okay. So I didn't pick up, obviously, to let it ring. And but then what happened? So I'm standing there. The guys that, you know, asked me for the phone is also standing there still, you know, waiting for the bus or whatever. And then all of a sudden, his cell phone rings, and he picks up his cell phone. So I was talking. I said to myself, "Oh my gosh, you know, good thing I did. He has a cell phone. So why was he asking me for my cell phone to make a call? I mean, obviously he has a cell phone." So I said, "Boy, am I glad I didn't give him my cell phone, or, you know, how do you like that, you know, whatever." And I was like, "Whoa." And then the guy finishes, whatever, puts his cell phone away, you know. And then another guy comes walking by the bus stop. He approaches him, he says, "Can I use your cell phone?" He goes, "There's somebody else." And I'm like, "No, don't give it to him." You know? Anyway, so the guy says, "Yeah, sure." And he gives him the cell phone. And he makes a call, whatever, and he gives it back. And then I hear him telling the guy, he says, "I have my own cell phone, but something's wrong. I can't make outgoing calls. I can only make incoming calls." I said, "Oh, okay." But yeah. Anyways, that's the idea of chavilas shel averas. You do an avera, you don't realize the ramification. And on the positive side, so the person does chavilas shel averas. If the chavilas shel mitzvah, I saw a maisa once. There was an avreich. He was my teleshomer, and he had to get back into the Bnei Brak. Trying to get back to Bnei Brak. So he hails down a cab, a taxi, and he says, "Can you take me to Bnei Brak?" I said, "Sure, I'll hop in. How much is it?" And he quoted him. It was a little bit expensive. He seemed to like charge him quite a bit, but he was a chiloni, non-religious. He didn't want to start haggling with him, you know, create a chil Hashem. So he said, "Okay, fine." You know, gets in the cab. So he starts driving, you know, a little bit, and just as he's about to, you know, pulling out, he sees right the car right next to him, his friend in his car, also going to Bnei Brak, driving his own car. So he like opens the window. He says, "Hey, where are you? Going to Bnei Brak?" "Yeah." He says, "Oh, you know, chaval, you know, I could have gone with you, whatever." So he said, "I really wanted to go with him because Stam here, we can talk Torah and this. You know, I'd rather be with my friend, you know, than to summon me in this cab." So what did he do? He turned to the cab driver and he said, listen, my friend's here in the car next door, and he's also going to Bnei Brak, and I'd rather, you know, go with him, so we mind if I get out? So he says, oh, sure, you know, no problem, whatever. So, but what did he do? He took out the 50 shekels, I don't know, whatever he charged him, took out the 50 shekels, says, here. So the cab driver says, what's this? He says, well, no, because I took away your bill. You know, you took me in the car, you're going to take me to Bnei Brak, and then I think, but, you know, you asked for 50 shekels, you're taking 50 shekels. He says, Chas v'shalom, why am I going to take your money? I didn't take you, you know, I'll take you. I didn't take, why should I take your money? He says, no, you came and you did, no, I want you to, no, back in front of, anyways, he insisted that he take the money. So the guy somehow got his name or whatever of the guy. And one day, the Savreich gets a phone call, and he says, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm this taxi driver you took in the car, that I took you in my car in Tel HaShomer, and you got out, and you went to your friend. So, do you remember? He goes, yeah. So he says, do you mind if I come over to your house? He says, okay. You know, he was a little bit nervous. I didn't know the guy, but okay. So he comes over, knock on the door, opens up. There's a guy, taxi driver with his wife. And he says, can I come in? He says, yeah, sure, comes in, whatever. Meanwhile, what happened? The guy was so impressed with what this guy did that he came home, he told his wife, and he said, it was such an impression. He said, you know, we gotta, you know, if this is what the Torah is all about, we gotta learn more about it. You know, if they can produce such a thing. Mamash a Kiddush Hashem. So he said, please, you know, it's there. Anyways, one thing led to next. The couple were Chos and Mechuva, and they sent their kids to Talmud Torah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is a chavila shal mitzvah. What he did? Okay, here, take the money. That's a little thing, right? But ramifications, unbelievable ramifications. Machzir is a couple of tshuva, their kids, and who knows, the children graduate all from people, Torah and mitzvah, all because of this guy that he was mivatir on 50 shekels. It's worth it. Chavila shal mitzvah. Okay, it says that we have the vote of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And the part of the Avoda, the Kohen Gadol goes in, Lifnai V'Lifnim, with the Kaf and the Machta, to do the Ketoros and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he changes clothing, to the white clothing, goes in, puts the incense on the ashes, and makes the smoke, whatever, and then he leaves. And later on, he sprinkles the blood, etc., and then later on he comes in, and part of the Avoda is he switches again back into his white clothing, goes in and removes the Kaf and the Machta. So Rav Yecheskel Abramsky asks, why does he have to do this? Why does he make a special, you know, change his clothing, go to the mikvah, change his clothing, all to what? Take out the empty vessels. He says, why not just leave them there till next year? You know, he's going to go in again next year. So when you go next year, they put down the new ones, take out the old ones. You don't have more than one kaf and macht. That was the big deal. Why do you have to make a special thing to go in and take out the kaf and the macht? So he answers, Derech Terush, that he says that something empty you don't leave in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Something, it's empty. As they say, if you have nothing to do here, right, so if you have nothing to do, he says, so don't do it over here. You have nothing to do, don't do it here. You're not doing anything, so you're remaining idle, this is not the place to be idle. It's for sure, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's not the place to be idle. If something you do, something that, not. They say the Derech Drush, so the Gemara in Horius, Mishnah there says that if we have two people that you want to know who to give kedima to, it's either one is a mamzer, but he's a talmud chacham, and or a kohen gadol that's a ama aretz. So whether to return his aveda, to save his life, whatever it might be, to give kedima. So who do you give kedima to? So the Mishnah says you give kedima to the talmud chacham ama aretz more than the kohen gadol. Even though he's a kohen gadol, if he's an ama aretz, he doesn't learn Torah. So the Gemara says, where do we learn it from? Yikarahi mipninim, and they darshan out that the Torah is more dear than the kohen gadol that's nichnas lifnai v'lifnim. And Rav Yisrael Salanter used to say that who is the most holiest man in the world? Kohen Gadol. Okay, what's the most holiest? What's the most holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. What's the holiest place of the year? Kodesh HaKadosh. So here you have all three put together. You have the holiest man on the holiest day in the holiest place. That's a code. That's the Kohen Gadol. That's Nichlas Mifnayim V'Nim. And what's greater than all of that? Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is someone who has Torah is greater than the Kohen Gadol Shenichlas Lifnayim V'Nim. That's from Rav Levinstein. He says, therefore, accordingly, you know, he says, imagine if the, you know, Kohen Gadol calls you aside, it was before Yom Kippur, and he says, listen, I'm going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay? And would you like me to, you know, maybe, you know, mention you or something, a little tefillah, you need something, you know, the Kodesh HaKadosh, holiest place, holiest time, you know, So what would you say? How? You'd be speechless. Oh, it's Kohen Gadol, if I leave name, asking for, saying a tefillah for, wow, you know, could you ask for anything more? What tells us the Gemara over here, but what, you have something, you have a request, you want a tefillah? Says, it's this knock on any kolo, right? Like any basic medrash, you know, of course, Beinu Starim, and ask one of the Avreichim, you know, a tefillah. He said, where's Avreich, a tefillah? No, it's not. Yikarahim ipninim. The Torah is greater than a Kohen Gadol, nichlas lifnayim nifnim. If your speech is right, you're asking the Kohen Gadol to give you a bracha. If your speech is asking an Avreich to give you a bracha, him to daven for you. It's greater than the Kohen Gadol, nichlas lifnayim nifnim. So Mela, he says that it comes out that the yeshiva is more holy than Kodesh HaKadoshim, like we said, Karihim Mipninim, and therefore that we said the Kafan Amach is not left. If you're not doing anything, there's no place there. So too, a bachur is in yeshiva. If he's not doing anything, he's like the Kafan Amach in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The yeshiva is holy in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so a bachur is not learning in yeshiva, that's not his place. Shouldn't be there. Rav Reuven Karelenstein, Shebari, says that an idea of being marich, we don't marich the Torah. He says that the Gemara says in the Darim, Pei Aleph, that one of the reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav was because Shalom berchu b'Torah tchila. Right? So many Perushim, what does it mean? They didn't say Birkas HaTorah before they learned, whatever. What does that mean? Shalom berchu b'Torah. Al-Pidrash, he said that, you know, unfortunately, what do people mevarach? What do they bless? They bless other things, but not the Torah. Torah's on, unfortunately, last on the list. You know, you have this guy speaking to his friend, and he says, oh, what are your sons doing? Well, this one's doing that. And, he says, oh, but what about your youngest son? What is it? Nothing. He's just in yeshiva. One day he'll get out there into the world, you know. But, he says, you know. He says, that was their problem. That was Nechrav Yushalayim. Why? Lo berchu b'Torah tchila. Lafech. The guy learning yeshiva, should be the first one that you bless, not the last one. And there's like the old joke they say, you know, there's a couple of women were talking, Jewish women, and the one asked, hey, what does your son do? Oh, my son, no, he's a doctor. And one asked the other, so what does your son do? Oh, my son, here's a lawyer. So there's a third, you know, woman there, and she asks, what does your son do? He says, my son, he's a rabbi. The other two look at him, Rabbi, what kind of a job is that for a Jewish boy? Yeah, that's it. Okay. As part of our tefillahs on Yom Kippur, say the bracha, the main bracha, the bracha emtsais, we read the words, Umavir ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana, melech mochel v'solech l'banoseinu, etc. So we make the bracha that Hashem is mavir ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana. Every year Hashem cancels our averas. He's mavir ashmoseinu. So they ask, how can we make a bracha like that? Right? Let's say Hashem isn't going to do it. It's a bracha levatala. Hashem is making a bracha. Bracha to Hashem, right? Hashem is mavir ashmoseinu b'chol shana. Maybe he's not. It's a bracha levatala. So the answer, based on the famous mashal of the father who had a candy in his hand. And his kid says, Abba, can I have the candy? His father says, no, you didn't eat dinner yet, you're not getting the candy. Please, 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 no candy. So the kid wants the candy badly, and he's a smart little kid. So he says, oh yeah? He says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Ro. Father's no choice, he's going to make a bracha levatala, he's going to give him the candy. Right? Meila is the same thing. Right, lefech dafka. How can we make a bracha? Maybe Hashem's not lefech. we dafka make the bracha, because we know our father, Avinu Shem HaShemayim, he doesn't want us to make a bracha levatala. So we dafka make a bracha that Hashem is Mavri Ashmer Sinu, so we have no other choice but to get rid of our avera. He doesn't want us to make a bracha levatala. Reminds me, there's a similar maisa of a, I don't remember, it was a sick person, old person, whatever, but the doctors didn't give him much time to live. A few weeks to live, 2-3 weeks to live, and that was it. So we had the Shaila, he asked his Rav, that it was coming Pesach time, and he wanted to know, should he say Sfiras Omer with a bracha? Because it was a shita that the brachas for the whole 7 weeks, and if he knows he's not going to finish the mitzvah, according to Shita, it's one big mitzvah. He knows he's not going to finish the mitzvah. Maybe he shouldn't start with making the bracha. So the Rav told him, we said, Adarava. He said, Dafka make a bracha. Why? Because if you make a bracha, then Hashem doesn't want you to have a bracha levatala. So because of that, he's going to make you live. He says, not because you started with the bracha. Hashem says, look Hashem, I made a bracha already a first few days ago. You got to keep me alive over here. I don't want to be a bracha levatala. So male, that's the way that to keep you alive. I think he lived in here. Okay. It says, K'maseyeretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba'lo sasu. So the question is asked, Tifer Shlomo asks, that right after this, we mentioned that Hashem's telling us not to do like the Maisa of Eretz Mitzrayim. It gives a whole list of the Arayas, okay, that are Asr. So if anyways, we have all these very detailed lists of Arayas, so why does it start off and say, K'maseyeretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba'lo sasu, very general. Shouldn't do it to Mitzrayim. This. Once you're giving the details already, why do you have to say in general? So he answers that K'maseyeretz Mitzrayim ba'lo tasu is not talking about the Urias. The Urias is the Urias. That's talking about lafek, things which are mutter. Says, in other words, even things which are mutter to do, there's ways to do them like a yid, there's ways to do it like a goy. Don't act like a goy. Even things which are mutter to do, how you eat, how you conduct yourself, you can do things like a goy, you can do things like a yid. K'maseyeretz Mitzrayim ba'lo tasu. Don't act like a goy, even the things that are mutter to do. The Yalkuter Gershuni says in Parshas Hazinu on the pasuk Vayar Hashem v'inatz mikatz banavu v'nosav kidor tapuchoseim abanim lo imum bam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll see and I'll be like provoked v'inatz me from the anger of your sons and daughters kidor tapuchoseim. They're a generation that are hafuch. Inside out, right? Banim lo emun bam. There are children that have no emuna, etc. So teaches up that unfortunately, what do we see? That things are backwards. It says women, you know, are supposed to cover their hair. So instead of cutting their hair, whatever, it should be not seen. Instead, they leave their hair uncovered, grow their hair long, whatever. And by the men, the opposite. Man is supposed to have dafka long payas, long beard, payas, whatever. And so what do? They shave their beard, shave their payas, and they think they get rid of their hair. So that's the hint in the pasuk. Why is Hashem angry? Because they're dor tapuchos heima. They're afuch. They're doing everything backwards. The men are acting like women, and women are acting like men. They're doing things backwards. So he says, therefore, they're what are? They're banim asher lo emun bam. They don't have emuna, meaning, why are they doing this? Because we act like the goyim. But it says in the pasuk v'chuseichem, lo say lechu. Right? Now, lafech, you're doing that, you don't want to, you know, stand out like a yid, long peyah, you want to, you know, look like the goyim. That's because you don't trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu that everything will work out if you act like a yid. So that's the hint. So he says also, says the Lach Metoda, the Gemara says in Sota, on the Pasuk Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach, that how did Pharaoh enslave us b'farach? That he gave jobs from the men jobs to the women, and women jobs to the men. Very hard to do. So, Mele, that's what the Pasuk's telling us over here. Kamase Eretz Mitzrayim, that just like in Mitzrayim, what they do, they change the men for the women and women for the men. So lo tasu, that you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it that way. You should do it the way you're supposed to do it. The men have the long payas and young beard, and the women are supposed to cover their hair and not laugh. Kamase Mitzrayim, if you're stuffed them, lo tasu. Don't do what Pharaoh did with the men, and had to do it like the women and women like the men. And uvukukosechem lo selech. So the Hashem should be proud of our Yiddishkeit, and as we approach Pesach, should be zoicha, kimeit seischa mir tzitzrayim, renun eflos, ad bias kol tzedek, mihir v'yimim.